You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Well, it's an interesting start to the season, I think it's fair to say, for the Warriors. I didn't think they'd be outside the top eight after seven completed rounds. Did you? I'll bet you didn't, on the hype and the momentum we had and the confidence we had in them going into the season. But it's far from done and dusted. There's no reason to panic. But it's not a bad time to be talking to the boss, I think, the CEO, Cameron George, who joins us now. Good morning, Cameron, on this Tuesday before the Thursday being Anzac Day and a big occasion for you guys at Go Media Stadium. Good morning, mate.
Good morning, Smithy. Great to be here, mate. Yes, very, very special week for New Zealand and certainly for our game. It's fantastic. The NRL have finally allowed us to have a game here in New Zealand on Anzac Day, first one since 2015. So very special day, sold out, looking forward to it.
So what can we expect? I imagine there'll be some recognition of the day itself.
Yeah, absolutely. There's been a lot of planning go into the day itself. The New Zealand Defence Force have been so supportive of all of the initiatives we wish to unfold on the day. It just marks a special occasion for us all, for obvious reasons, and there will be so many things happen on the day that people here or watching through Sky Sport will certainly feel proud about, you know, the Kiwis standing up on Anzac Day.
Right, let's look... Not from a too much of a playing point of view, because that's not the area you like to delve into, but I'm a little surprised that after seven rounds, the Warriors are not inside the top eight. Are you a little concerned about that or phased at all by it?
No, look, obviously we'd like to be in a much better position, but we're talking purely numbers on the ladder. Look, it's a very tight competition, as we've seen through various results over the last few weeks. Can we be doing better? Yes, absolutely. Look, all of us know that. We're just focused on this Thursday. Look, and this is the difference from being out of the top eight, in the top eight. You win on Thursday, you're back in it. So we want to slowly climb into the back end of the season. We've got a lot of players out injured, quality players, starting players. And as they come back, each one of them will add value. So, mate, I'd love to be higher on the ladder, but at the same point in time, we're only around seven, and we're certainly up there with the better teams. We know that, and that'll come to shine at the right time of the year.
Cameron, you mentioned the injuries. Is this sort of an expected level? I mean, there's always an attrition rate in a physical sport like rugby league, but is it a little higher? Is it a little bit more concerning than you thought?
Yeah, it's higher this year. Like, you compare year on year last year to this year, Smithy, we had nowhere near the players we got out. We've got eight players out from our top 17 normally that we would name on the sidelines right now. And a lot of them are sort of in the similar roles in the middle. And, you know, it takes a huge amount of energy out of you. Your established players, when they're debuting players, they're young, they're not experienced. So, you know, the workload on the more senior players becomes more apparent. But that's just part and parcel playing footy in the competition. We're not immune to it. It's just our turn, we're going through it. But we'll come out of it, mate. And we've got good kids all the way through our club. And they'll stand up if they're called up.
Right, okay, that's really what I wanted to talk to you about. I don't want to focus too much on the field of play, but your department, of course, is getting it all organised so they can do what they do on the field of play. Great news last week with the James Fisher-Harris deal. How long were you working on that? Did that come pretty quickly, or was that in the pipeline for a while?
Mate, I was sitting around Sunday afternoon and the phone rang and I was asked, would we consider James Fisher-Harris? Once I understood it was actually very serious, it really just steamrolled from there. That night we had a few conversations with Penrith. The next morning got permission from Penrith to negotiate, which is the first step you need to do. And look, from that point to Wednesday afternoon, you know, we just worked through the process respectfully and professionally and efficiently. And, you know, our biggest challenge normally, Smithy, is to try and get a player to move to New Zealand, away from family and friends and the likes. And that takes weeks for those players to make that call. And normally they say no, because they don't want to risk their, you know, move away from everyone. But in this occasion, we had someone that wanted to come home to New Zealand. So our biggest challenge normally didn't exist. So therefore, we worked out how we're going to do it. And, you know, every party wanted it to happen. Penrith did, we did, James did. So flew over Wednesday and got the contract signed. First time I met James, and flew back Wednesday afternoon, Wednesday night. So it was pretty quick, but very happy with the outcome.
I'll bet that is in the very low percentage of the way deals are done in the NRL. Is that fair to say? I mean, it wouldn't fall into place like that with such a big name very often.
No. It's look, it is unique, but the circumstances allowed it to be unique and efficient, and just very grateful and respectful the way Penrith managed it as well for James and his family and us. And but now we move on, and we've got it this season to focus on, and he can focus on Penrith, and we'll see him next year.
As surprising it was to you, Cameron, when you found out it was genuine, how big a buzz did it send around the building?
Well, mate, I was obviously I went to Sydney. I emailed our and texted our players just as I was walking into the hotel to meet James and his manager to sign the contract, and told all of our players and staff by email, and that which they always get the heads up before any big announcement comes. And the buzz just, you know, it was quite electric, I understand. And then, you know, by the time I got out of that meeting, it was out, and we announced it. And I think I got off the plane, I had something like 80 odd text messages for people to ring back and a heap of phone messages. But mate, I was lucky I was in the air for a while, otherwise the phone wouldn't have stopped ringing. So, it's exciting for New Zealand Rugby League, great for our country.
It certainly is. In terms of your current squad, we know James is coming in. How many current first team squad players are off contract at the end of this season?
We've got a pretty stable squad moving into next year. Right now James is filling adds and spots. We've only got one or two spots left for next year, and you know, there's only one or two off contract. So we've got a very stable squad. That was always the plan, to go 23, 24, 25 with a lot of stability. So we haven't got much changeover, and we don't have a lot of room to bring people in. So at the end of the day, you know, it's going to give us a really good off-season to train with a very similar squad, which is going to be great.
What about the coaching staff? Have you settled them in for a decent haul?
Yes. Webby's got a great team around him in Slade, and Rich Agar and Stacey. And then the development of Pathways guys are doing a fantastic job and working basically 24/7. So Andrew McFadden's in charge of all that. And look, everyone's stable. We've got a lot of good young staff coming through from the New Zealand system, which is fantastic. And I don't see much change, if any, moving forward with that. Everyone's committed and passionate about their roles.
And Stacey, of course, has got the added role now. How does that role as the Kiwi boss impact on the Warriors in terms of the calendar year at all?
No, not in its current format. Normally, you'd have an Anzac Day test back in the day, as you would recall. But the way the international calendar works now, I think they're still waiting to understand what the Pacific Cup looks like at the end of the season. So a lot of those duties are post-season of the NRL season. But, you know, I think it's a great opportunity for the Kiwis to have Stacey on board, and great for Stacey. I think he'll be fantastic in that role. But from where we sit, we're very supportive of it, and it's great for the game in New Zealand.
From a marketing point of view, the two words sellout are absolutely gold. And on Facebook, I follow you on Facebook or social media, Cameron, and you know, you're forever posting sold out, sold out. How many sellouts have you got going forward? How many, and incidentally, in a sellout, how many tickets, how many more tickets do you reckon you could sell if it wasn't a sellout, put it that way? How many more do you think, you know, it's possible for a Warriors team to attract these days?
It's hard to sort of put a number on that, Smitty, but we're having 26,000 seats. A lot of them, you know, a lot of memberships, a big growth in memberships, and then but our retail sales are just, you know, through the roof week in, week out. And moving forward, we've got the Dolphins playing here, which are well up on top of the ladder at the end of May. And then we have some good games around the Broncos and Melbourne and so on, and they're all nearly sold out already. So the key is to get in early. But look, someone asked me the other day, if you want to put another 10,000 seats, would you sell out? Oh, look, I don't know whether we would. But what I do know is what we have now is so electric, so exciting, and a ticket you should get because you don't want to miss the event. The area where you'd have to put additional seating is we've got a really unique space where we can offer a wide range of activation spaces to our sponsors, which they love. There's a great communal area where everyone meets before and after the game for a chat with their mates, and then they get into their seats and they cheer loud and proud. So I'd rather, and I love the stadium the way we have it, and I just love it being full all the time.
Right, let's look at another exciting new addition to the franchise, of course, will be the NRLW team. How's that progressing in terms of players and staff? And how does it work in terms of like a salary cap? Is it similar to the men's side of things?
It is. I just signed the license this morning, so now we can start recruiting. But look, there's been a lot of people reach out about wanting to come home and play. Like a lot of the players that are in Australia, you know, are over there because we don't have a team. But now we've got one coming. There's a bit of time for them to organise themselves. We've got everything sorted here. We've got Nadine Conlon, who's overseeing all that program, and it's going really well. We're very happy to be back in the competition, and we look forward to kicking off next year with a really strong team. And yeah, New Zealand will be very proud of the NRLW team we put out in the park, because we're there to win it. We're not going to start building. We're going to be turning up to win it in year one, hopefully.
Should New Zealand rugby and local franchises in terms of women's rugby be just a little concerned about the interest coming across?
No, I don't think so. I think it's a space that will continue to grow, and I think every party has the opportunity to really, you know, excel in this space. So, no, I don't think there shouldn't be any concerns.
Right, okay. And you see the demographic of your fans. There's a lot of young people who are obviously dead keen on the Warriors, but dead keen on the game of rugby league as well. How much, or is this a New Zealand rugby league issue, how much time do you spend, or how much is put into league at schools? Because you don't hear a hell of a lot about it, to be perfectly honest. Yet, if you look at the demographic of people going to the Warriors compared to, say, people going to Eden Park, I mean, it's entirely full of kids and families, etc. How strong and how do you monitor league at that level, at the really young level?
Yeah, it's a lot of work. You know, we made a decision a couple of years ago to strategically go and really focus on that next generation of support. and I'm talking the teenage kids, I feel like COVID probably dictated to us that we missed out on a group of fans. So we went strategically for the next generation, and that's why you're seeing a lot of young kids here. So we are doing a lot of work in schools. You know, some schools are really welcoming about it. Other schools are very challenging about letting us in and around their programs and so forth. But we'll just keep working hard, mate. And, you know, there's some schools that anyone that's associated with the Warriors are stopping the kids playing in their rugby system. And it's really disappointing. I told six kids the other day from Hamilton, that's what happened because they're associated with us. And through our junior programs, like, let the kids be kids. Let them choose sport, play sport. It doesn't matter. At the end of the day, we want our kids in New Zealand to do what they want to do and play sport. It's the best thing for them. But we shouldn't dictate, from a school system perspective, where they go and play sport. And if you do choose one, you shouldn't be, you shouldn't be tarnished by, and barred from playing the other one.
Cameron, whilst we've been talking, a number of texts come in, people wanting to get answers from you. I'll pass a couple on. Paul says, can I ask Cameron if there's any talk of Jerome Hughes coming? Is there any truth in the rumour to that?
Not to us, no. We haven't had any discussion around Jerome. I saw some publicity yesterday around him, but yeah, certainly not here at the Warriors.
Okay, that's good. And the second one I'd like to ask you is about the seating. Seems that you have a grass bank at the northern end could be utilised for scaffold seating. Can you ask Cameron, please? I haven't been to Mount Smart or Go Media for quite some time, so I'm not quite sure what he's talking about. But a grass bank at the northern end could be utilised for scaffold seating?
Yeah, we have in the past had some scaffold seating there. But there are a lot of restrictions around the bank due to the engineering capacity and the steepness of it. But there are certain parts in the past, even last year, where we had a little bit of seating up the top. But, I mean, that's about as far as we can go.
Okay, cool. That answers that. Now, we'll leave league just for because you've covered all those administrative bases beautifully for us. But the other hat, of course, you wear is probably one you're not that happy about talking about at the moment, but we can't ignore it, and that of course is the racing side of things. We're struggling for tracks in this country. I mean, the head office is under siege. Hawke's Bay, we can't get a meeting going here at the moment. Palmerston North is the same, and these are three major North Island tracks. Camo, I mean, you got to wear this hat as well. How yep. bad is it? How critical do you think it is?
It's frustrating. It is critical. The guys are working with clubs through programming and plans. And the thing about tracks, you can't just fix them overnight, but they just deteriorate over long periods of time through lack of investment, management and the likes. So you're spot on, Smithy. You can't dance around it, can't avoid it. It's an issue that continually needs to be addressed by us. And we've got a board meeting this week, and it's big on the agenda around venues. So a lot of work, a lot of consideration to go into it, but it's not good enough, and we've got to be better at it. And management's got to be better at it around the country, and we've got to invest more into it, I think.
Okay, we'll leave it there, mate. Thank you. I think we spoke to George yesterday, and the frustration is very clear from those within the industry. I think there's no two ways of looking at that. Cheers, mate. Thank you for the update on things happening in the office as opposed to on the field. Really enjoyed catching up there, and a long way those sellouts can tell. I'm so looking forward to Thursday as well. Point of difference, of course, Anzac Day, standing alongside Australians but playing against them as well. I think it'll be really special.
Yeah, it will be, mate. And thanks for your support. Catch up.